Blog Talk Radio.
Some friends you gain, some you lose. In the back of your mind, you're looking for love, but found the blues. That's why I've come from far away, to take away the blues. And I've come to say,
I'm your host.
Love me more than just somebody.
And we are broadcasting this morning out of Brookhaven, Connecticut. I am so excited to have taken
more than someone special.
I'm so excited that you have taken the time this morning to join us, and we have two exciting guests this morning for you. Our first guest is Mr. Jim Nemley. Jim, good morning.
Good morning, Dynamic One. How are you?
I am so, so super blessed this morning. And I am even more blessed because I have you in my presence. But I just want to do a little housekeeping before we get you up and running, Jim. So I just want to remind the listeners that the number to call in this morning with their questions, the number is 646-915-8166. And we also have the chat room open, and it's up and running. Also, I would like to share a poem this morning for the listeners. And it is called Each Day We Live is an Opportunity to Discover a Completely New World. This day has never been seen before, It arrives fresh each morning, offering all the hope and promise of a fulfilling future. A world where special dreams meet successful achievement, where challenges are the inspiration for spiritual growth and insight. A world where love, in all its diversity of expression, is a constant force in our lives. A new beginning, a new world of our hopes and dreams in the potential each day offers us, a potential we each deserve and have the talent to achieve. I just think that this is fitting because there are so many people who are not focusing on the things that they need to focus on. So we just want to remind you that regardless of what happened yesterday, that's history. It's in the archives. So you always have a new beginning at the rising of the sun. Well, Jim, good morning again. Good morning, good morning, good morning. It's such a privilege to have you on this morning.
Oh, no, I feel honored to have been invited. I was really looking forward to this day.
Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. I remember a couple of years ago when you journeyed up from Long Island to be on the A New Day TV show, and I know the listeners are going to be so blessed because I know that you are a man of high quality, very eloquent, very well informed, and very well educated. So the material you're going to give this morning is not going to be anything less than I'm accustomed to. I want you to take a few minutes, Jim, and just tell the listeners a little bit about who Jim Nemley is.
Well, you know, at first I thought you were talking about your next guest coming on. I didn't realize you were talking about me. I was just sitting here waiting for you to get back to me. Well, a little bit about myself. I'm the CEO of a company called the Better Business Builders, and we provide business coaching, consulting, training, and access to capital to small businesses. We work with businesses that are either startups all the way up to the oldest company that I've worked with is 106 years old. So,
wow.
Yeah, so we deal with a wide range of industries, the whole nine yards. And what we do is not quick fixes. There's no such thing as a quick fix in business. In business, it's about training up the business owner to understand every aspect of running their business and then working with them to develop systems that are going to operate their businesses from start to finish. So it's very intensive. You know, you remember that movie Karate Kid?
Yes, yes.
Right? And the kid wanted to learn karate, and Mr. Miyagi, all Mr. Miyagi would do with him was have him go out and wash and wax all of his vintage cars. And
That's right.
Yeah, you know, so he finally confronted Mr. Miyagi, and he says, I thought you were going to teach me karate, and all you have me doing is waxing these stupid cars. So Mr. Miyagi said to him, all right, I'm going to throw a punch at you. Now, you remember how I showed you how to put the wax on and the wax off? And the kid said, yeah. He says, okay, wax on. He throws a punch and the kid blocks it. He said, wax off. He throws a punch and the kid blocks it. Kid realized that the motion of doing wax on, wax off was the motion that he needed to protect himself. Well,
exactly.
I'm not a quick fix kind of guy. I'm a wax on, wax off kind of guy.
Awesome. That's such a magnificent story to for us entrepreneurs and small business owners to use as an affirmation, because too many people now in today's society, Jim, is looking for quick fixes, and it's just not going to work.
No,
and I just want to let the listeners in on a little secret that you didn't mention. Jim is also an ordained minister, so
yes, I am.
A singer, and all of that, has his own recording studio. So he don't be holding off on my guests. Just tell them everything.
I find myself to be somewhat boring. But yes,
you know,
I am an ordained minister.
Jim, you got to remember, I'm like an old refrigerator. I can't keep anything. Whatever I know, I'm going to be telling.
Oh,
okay.
Well, look.
This morning, Jim, I know you're going to be speaking on the top 10 points about the forgotten marketing tools.
That's right.
But before we go into that, I want you to just give a little insight to our listeners who are probably new business owner and are looking at this point to throw the towel in. And I know the Better Business Builders is not always on smooth sailing, especially when you just started.
No, you know, let me tell you something about throwing the towel in. What a lot of folks have to come to understand is this: when you're starting a business, you really need to do your homework. Running a business is not about what you do, it's about, well, what you sell. It's really about understanding all of the various areas of the business world, okay? Understanding that having a successful business means developing marketing systems, sales management systems, customer service systems, human resource systems, financial management systems, leadership systems. There's so many systems that need to be developed to run a successful business. But what happens a lot of times is small business owners start a business because they're good at doing something. You know, they've worked on a particular job for many years. They've done good work. They've always been applauded for the work that they've done. And at some point in time, they say, "You know what? I'm tired of making the man rich. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to work for myself. I'm going to start my own thing." Not recognizing there's a whole lot more involved than what it is they do. Let me give you a little story. It's going to be in my book that's coming out in a little while. There's this, take a contractor, and I've worked with a lot of construction workers. So here's this construction worker. He's been working with this company for 20 years. Gets up 5 o'clock in the morning, goes off to the warehouse, pulls up to the warehouse, walks inside, there's his truck, it's loaded with materials, walks around the truck, opens up the door. On the front seat, there are the blueprints. On the dashboard, there's the directions for where he has to go and the address. Starts the truck up, it automatically goes up to full, puts it in gear, takes off, goes out, does the job. The owner of the building applauds him, says his work is beautiful. He comes back to the shop, drops the truck off, goes home. Tuesday morning, up at 5 o'clock, jumps in the truck, right, jumps in his car, goes to the warehouse, walks in, looks at his truck, it's filled with material, walks around the truck, opens up the door. On the front seat, there's the blueprints. On the dashboard, there's the address where he has to go, starts the truck up, the vehicle's full, goes, does his work. People praise his work, raves about how great he is, comes back, leaves the truck, goes home. Does this every single day, no change in routine. But over time, people begin to love his work so much that they want him to do side work for them. So in the evenings now, after he drops his truck off, he gets in his car, grabs a few tools, runs over, and he does his side work. After a while, he begins to build up more and more customers. So let's go back to his regular work day. Wednesday morning, up at 5, in the shop at 6, comes in, there's the truck loaded with materials, goes around, opens up the door, looks on the front seat, there's the blueprints. On the dashboard, there's the address where he has to go, starts the vehicle up, goes to full, goes, does the work, people praise his work, comes back, drops the truck off. Does that on Thursday. Finally, Friday comes. He's up at 5 in the morning on Friday. Gets to the shop 6 o'clock, walks in the door, there's the truck, walks around the truck, it's loaded with materials. On the front seat, there's his blueprints. He looks at the dashboard, there's the address where he has to go, starts the vehicle up, it's filled with gas, goes, does the work, comes back, drops the truck off, but he does something a little bit different now. It's Friday. What do you think he does on Friday?
Went to collect his paycheck.
There you go. So, first time that week, he walks down the hall. There's the little open window to the receptionist. He jokes around with the people in the office, gets his paycheck, and he goes home. After doing this for so long, he decides that now it's time for me to start my own business. He goes out there, hires a couple of people. He starts doing this side work, but within the next 6 months, no more work. So now he's out there looking for another job. All right.
Yes.
You see, here's your problem. When he pulls up to the building, he doesn't know whether or not his employer owns that building or leases that building. If
That's right.
the owner owns the building, has he done certiorari for the taxes that are due on that building to see if he could reduce his tax debt.
Yes.
With the equipment inside there, how is he accounting for that equipment? Is he doing straight line, or is he staggering his depreciation on that equipment so he can have a tax write-off? When you walk in, you see the truck loaded with material. What are the arrangements that he has with his vendors? You know, does he pay 30 days, 45 days, 60 days? All right. Is it worth it to buy volume based on projected work so you can get it at a better multiplier? All right. Is he on time with all of his payments on that material?
Right.
When you look at the truck, is the truck leased or is the truck paid for? Is the truck on a maintenance program? If the truck is on a maintenance program, how far into that maintenance program is he on the truck? How many more payments are left on it? What's the projection of replacing that truck? When you open up the door and you see on the front seat the blueprint, when the owner started his budget for that particular year, did he put out a batch notice for quotes to architects, or did he just pick one architect per job? Because if you put out a batch, you can get a better price if an architect knows he's doing more than one job. Is construction management a part of that deal? See, he doesn't know anything about that. He starts the truck up, and the truck goes to full. So there's what about the fleet service on that vehicle? The fleet maintenance service on the vehicle, what are the payments on a monthly basis? How are they tracking the vehicles? Are the vehicles, because there's so many of them, are there GPSs on the vehicle so that the employer knows where they are at all times and gas isn't being wasted? Does he know any of that stuff? And then when you take a look at the dashboard, there's the address of where he has to go. Does he realize that before he even got to that place, before he even was assigned that job, that that job had already been bought and paid for by the consumer, meaning all he needs to do is go and install it? So realistically speaking, his boss could have had anybody go and do that. That's the business end of it. On Fridays, he goes to the front office to pick up his paycheck. Who is doing accounts receivable and who's doing accounts payable? Do you have any aged receivables out there? Are they aging 30, 60, 90, 120 days? What do they do to discount receivables in order to keep their cash flow going? Does he have aged payables? Are his aged payables higher than his receivables? What is he doing to work down the debt on that particular end right there? Is he staying on top of his workman's comp? Does he properly have the office workers divided out from the contract workers? And on and on and on and on. That part right there, everything that goes on inside of that front office is business. The actual work itself is just what you do.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for sharing that, Jim. We have a caller. I just want to acknowledge the caller. And then I want to go back and just piggyback on something you said about systems. Good morning, caller. You're on the air. Hello? Is this Blanche? Good morning. Hello?
You're still talking to me?
I was talking to... a caller we had on. Good morning, caller. You're on the air.
Good morning, Daphne. Can you hear me?
Well, now I can. Well, thank you for calling. We have just started, and our guest is Jim Nemley. So he's not taking questions yet, but you can join us in the chat room, and you can call us back later if you have a question.
Okay, I'll do just that. I'm just sitting here listening.
Yes. Okay, but you can do the same thing, but we are just so happy to have you on, Blanche, and you can join us in the chat room as well at www.blogtalkradio.com. All right?
So, okay.
Just for the listeners, you noticed that Jim spoke about systems. And as a small business owner or entrepreneur, you're probably thinking, oh, well, I can't do that. That's for a big corporation. But a system doesn't mean that you need to have all the skills and expertise in which to have an effective, workable system. What it means is that you can surround yourself with a team of people who believe in what you are doing. So you just get all those experts around you who will help you develop that system, and then you do the part that you are good at doing. So, you know, and everything that Jim shared in the second section is part of that system. Because when you have that power team, I call mine a power team. When you have that power team around you, they will go through all that thing. So if that contractor had that power team, then he would not be driving up and waiting until Friday to collect his paycheck. So thank you so much. Jim, we already only have 38 minutes. So why not go straight into the top 10 points about the forgotten marketing tool?
I most certainly will, and I'm really looking forward to doing this. A lot of folks buy tons of books on marketing. I mean, you know, when I'm dealing with small business owners, they usually have a full library of books on marketing. But when they get up in the morning, now you got up this morning, you showered, and then you got in front of the mirror. When you look in the mirror, you are looking at your greatest marketing tool. And your greatest marketing tool is you.
Exactly.
It's you. And a lot of folks, you know, they really don't understand this. And as a result, they do a lot of things to market their businesses, but they don't recognize that they are their own greatest marketing tool. So let's look at the top 10 points about that forgotten marketing tool. First point, keep thinking about marketing yourself as the best way of marketing your business. All right? Now, here you are, Daphne. You're a coach, all right?
Yes.
Well, when you're looking at coaching, you are the business. It's not about the product that you sell. It's not about impersonal services. You're selling your skills and values and strengths. This is what you want to sell to a client. This is what you're going to use to change their lives. As a business coach, it's not about all of the wonderful tools that I have in my tool chest that I provide for my small business owners. It's not about that at all. It's about what I can provide. And if a person doesn't have confidence in what you, the individual, have to provide, then they're not going to have much confidence in whatever tool it is that you're going to bring to the table. So it's really fully about you. You are the business, and you can never forget that. This is really the starting point of everything else, because when you change that dynamic in your mind, when you come to that full realization that you are the business, all right, you're already in business when you get up in the morning. You already the business when you shower, when you dress, when you're selecting what it is that you're wearing. You're dressing the business.
That's right.
When you get
That's right.
into the car, the business is getting into the car. When you have that mindset, then you have to come to the realization that it really is about you. You are what's being sold when you're in front of a prospect. So
That's right. Before you go to the second point, I just want to mention something. A couple of years ago, I remember somebody saying to me that every day I see you, you are dressed up. Mm-hmm. And I said to the person, you realize I'm a business owner, right? They say, yes, so? I said, because I never get a second chance to make a first impression. And I noticed that that's your second point.
That's my second point, because when you recognize, let me tell you, I've seen a lot of people that have businesses, and you'll walk into their facility. The facility is neat as a pin, and everything is set up just so. Their product is nice and prim and proper. But when you look at them, you wonder, you know, did somebody just drag you in the door?
You are so correct.
Right.
People look around to see. What
they
say, people do business with people who look successful.
Exactly. And you can't, you know, I also know that a lot of business owners, you know, because of the fact that they aren't successful yet, you know, whatever their definition of successful is, they're not successful yet. So they walk around and they allow what they're going through in their business to show on their face, to show in their clothing. There's an old saying out there, fake it till you make it.
That's right. Fake it until you make it. And, you know, in the time of thrift shop and everything, you can go to the thrift shop and get a $500 suit for $25.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know,
important.
You
it's
can
important
make it until
really,
you make it.
That's right. We're going to my second point, first impressions first. All right? That first meeting that you have with a prospect is so absolutely important. Now, I have dealt with so many people who wanted to set a meeting with me. They wanted to either sell me a product or a service, and they'll say, can I meet you at your office at such and such time? And I'll say, okay, fine, I'll meet with you. Now, the time comes, the time goes. Maybe 10, 15 minutes later, the person comes hustling in, apologizing for being late.
But never called.
Well, you know what? Here's what's important, and this is something that I live by. This is not something that I just talk about, but I live by it, and I drive people nuts. Being on time for any appointment means being there no later than 15 minutes before you're supposed to be there.
That's right.
All right.
That's right.
Minimum of 15 minutes. I have negotiated deals that went over very well for me, not because of my extraordinary negotiating skills. It's because if I was supposed to be at somebody's place at a certain time, I would like to try to pick around lunchtime. And the reason why I would pick that time is because the person would usually be out of the office for lunch. I would,
right,
in those particular cases, I would get there actually a half hour early. And I would sit in the waiting room and I would gather myself, put myself together, clear my mind of all the other extraneous stuff that's going on in my life so I can just focus on the task at hand. And if the person came in a couple of minutes late, now here I am in their location where they feel safe and sound and comfortable, they would end up owing me an apology. Sorry for being, and I would not accept, no problem at all, no problem. Let's talk, all right? So now I didn't accept your apology. So now you got to give me something.
That's right, you owe me one.
You owe me one, okay? The leg
That's
up.
Right.
So here you are, you're going to now visit a prospect, and you dare come in late? That you might as well kiss it goodbye right there and then.
Right.
Because what you're saying is I don't respect your time. And I don't respect your time enough to be on time. So now coming in late, you're dragging in, you haven't set yourself up, your mind is still on whatever the situation was that caused you to be late in the first place. How prepared are you now to sell this individual anything. You're not. So it's about making certain you're on time, making certain that you're fully prepared. All right? This is your first time meeting this person. You must be prepared. Go back to step one, point one. You are the business. So now standing in front of this person isn't your stuff that you have back in the office. It's not the wonderful sign you have on your building. It's not your staff. It's you standing there in front of this person. If you're not prepared, if you're not dressed just so, if you don't have that smile on your face, that confident look, if you can't look them in the eye, that first impression is vital.
Exactly. All right?
So if you're the forgotten marketing tool, if you're the one that's marketing yourself before your company, these things are critical. I leave so early to go to meetings that it's unbelievable. And the reason why I do is because I have to take into consideration the possibility that something may come up, an accident, flat tire, anything might come up along the way. And I try to make certain that whatever happens, that at least I'm covered time-wise. That's really important.
It still gives you ample time. Jim, we have a caller. Let me just see if this caller have a question.
Sure.
Good morning, caller. You're on the air.
Good morning, Daphne. This is Jim Steffen. I just wanted to say hello and look forward to being interviewed by you at 11 o'clock. So I just...
All right. See you then at 11, Jim.
Very good.
All righty. Okay, Jim, we have 27 minutes remaining.
Not a problem.
Let me move into step number three.
Step number three. What you can do for your client is more important than what services you offer. So you have to make sure that you tell your client what you can do, not what your services can do. You have to tell them, I will help you create the perfect structure for managing your time, rather than I can help clients become more effective at time management. All right?
Okay.
It's about what you can do. Because remember something, you're the business. And the person that you're reaching out to is looking to you to be able to get them through. Fourth, use a powerful elevator speech. Now, Daphne, I'm sure that you have an elevator speech.
Yes.
Do you want to share it?
Well, I tell people I'm a problem solver. And then it opens up the door to ask what problem I solve. So when I say that, I'm looking for their pain because it is in healing their pain that I'm serving them best.
That's right. If you're giving a short elevator speech, you're supposed to be doing it with the purpose of getting them to ask you to elaborate. You know, I've had people come up to me. They didn't have elevator speeches. They had log jam, traffic jam speeches, you know, and by the time they finish telling me, I don't even want to know anymore about you.
You know, because they just keep talking about themselves and talking about themselves. So, you know, so what do? I'm a problem solver.
There you go.
And
what problems? There you go.
What problems do I solve, you know? And depend, there are other times when I say I'm a life changer. You know, but it's short and to the point, and it gives me an opportunity to talk. The second time, I give them a little more.
That's right. Let me go to the fifth one. Demonstrate your skills and strengths. you know, share case studies with your potential client that demonstrates your skills and your strengths. One of the ones that I like to use when I'm talking to someone who's either starting a business or looking to expand, about 5 years ago, these two ladies came to me, and they wanted to open up a Christian bookstore. So they thought that the only thing they needed to do was to rent a space, get a sign, put a counter out, buy some materials, put it on the counter, and then sell them. Obviously, that's not what it's about. And so they came and they studied under me, you know, because I also train people in business planning. So we did that. Yeah. That was about, I would say, about 4.5, close to 5 years ago. Well, we did that. Then they hired me as a coach. Today, they have 4 stores.
Amazing. Amazing.
All right.
You know, and I commend those ladies, Jim, because one of the challenges, and I'm sure you encounter that as well, is that people refuse to invest in themselves.
That's right.
They buy all the fancy gold and everything, but on the inside of them, they're not putting anything.
Nope. You're absolutely right. But, you know, when they came to the understanding that they did not have what was required to do what they wanted to do, then they committed themselves to a process of learning. I brought them through that process of learning, and then once I did that, they recognized something else. Well, we know how to do it, but we need assistance in its implementation. And so they hired me as a coach. We implemented, and it worked.
The other thing, too, they recognize that they need to be held accountable.
Absolutely, and that's what coaching does. I can give you all the tools in the world, but I'm not going to go in there and do it for you. My clients have this understanding about me. I'm an acquired taste, and the reason why I say I'm an acquired taste is because when I give you tasks to do, I absolutely hold you accountable to that task. I am, you know, apart from yourself, I am the most concerned person out there as it relates to your business.
That's right.
I'm going to make certain you do the proper things you need to do. And if it means confronting you, I will confront. And people know that I am a very stern confronter. And, that's what they're paying for. They're not paying me to pat them on the back or to tell them they're doing a great job. They're paying me to help get it done.
That's what their relatives and friends do.
That's right, and good. I'm not your relative. We're friends on a certain level, but I'm your business coach. All right, you didn't hire me for friendship. You hired me to become successful. Now the sixth thing is use testimonials. When I speak with people about testimonials, you know, my business owners, I tell them to use the variety of testimonials, highlighting the way they're able to help their customers or their clients. So if there are different ways in which you've helped someone, have that testimonial out there, because if someone's coming by your website or if you have testimonials in writing, when someone sees their problem jump up off the page as a testimonial, they're likely to reach out to you. If you only have one testimonial and you do an array of things, well, you're not really marketing just what you do. What you do is cover that wide range of things, and you want people to see their problem being solved through those testimonials.
Exactly.
All right?
Exactly.
Number 7, make yourself known. A lot of entrepreneurs, small business owners, do not do this, and it's a fatal flaw in their character. Their noses are to the grindstone as it relates to trying to get business done, so they stay hunkered down in their store or in their shop. They're not getting out there and letting people know who they are. They're not developing a reputation outside of their location.
Network.
You have to do that. Network, do articles, do radio programs. You know, get out there. Let people know you're an authority at what you do. If you don't do that, they're not going to know who you are. And if they don't know who you are, they're not going to care.
That's right, because I remember growing up, I always hear they say, you know, it's who you know. But as I get involved in business over the years, I realize there is a change in that statement. It is now who knows you and what they know about you.
There you go. There you go. You know,
it's going to catapult you to the next level.
That is the one. That is the thing that will do that. You know, if you're writing articles, just small articles as a contributor in a local magazine or newspaper in a business section, you know, and these are things that you can do, by the way, because these entities are always looking for fillers. You know, so if you're able to get stuff out there, you become an authority. You become an authority at what you do. People learn who you are. So it's about, you know, getting yourself out there, allowing yourself to be known. Number eight, stay in contact with current and past clients.
Follow up.
Well, you know, people just don't realize the power of customer service. I had Lloyd Dugan. You know Lloyd Dugan.
I know Lloyd, yeah.
Yes, I had Lloyd on my show the week before last. And for those of you that don't know who Lloyd Dugan is, he's the CEO of GL Market Research. And he's an extraordinary gentleman when it comes into the area of marketing. He is just fascinating. And we were discussing that hidden stimulus package that business owners have, and that's their current customers. Let me run some real fast stats past you.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at your current and past customers, but let's look at your current customers first. All right? The Customer Service Institute says that 65% of business comes from existing customers. So if you're providing them solid customer service, 65% of your annual revenue comes from your existing client base. You have the opportunity of expanding on what they're purchasing. You have the opportunity of enlisting them to become a sales force for you, the whole nine yards. But 65% of your annual revenue comes from your existing customers. The Technical Assistance Research Programs Institute says that 91% of dissatisfied customers don't return and tell seven people.
Mm.
Yeah, that's heavy duty.
Takeaway. So that alone is what's worth listening to this show for. Because how often we keep looking for new customers. Yes, we need to look, but why aren't we maintaining the 65%?
Absolutely. Looking for new customers is what Lloyd calls transactional. We're looking for the next transaction, and we're ignoring the one that we just accomplished, and it's very hurtful to your overall revenue. Harvard Business Review says increasing customer retention from 10% to 15% can double your annual revenue. These are things that are really important. The cost for you to go out and get a new customer, according to the Customer Service Institute, it costs you five times more to get a new client than it is to keep an existing one. And the last thing right here, the National Federation of Independent Businesses did a three-year study that proved that businesses that focused on services were more likely to survive than the ones that emphasized price or product. So it's about how are we providing our services to existing clients, and what is it that we need to do? Maybe the client that left us, do we know why they left us? You know, do we know how long a, our current clients should be staying with us. Let me ask you, Daphne, your clientele, what is the loyalty lifetime of your clientele?
I honestly don't know because I've never looked into that, but that is something I'll have to research, and I'll be sure to let you know that.
All right. Well, let me tell you why that's important. I'll give you a for instance. With me, my coaching contracts are 1 year. When I look back over all of my contracts and I average it out, my client loyalty averages is 18 months. So you multiply that against the monthly fee that they pay, and that gives me what my customer lifetime dollar amount is per client.
Awesome.
Now, if I project out how many referrals that I look for on a quarterly basis from that client, then I do a forecast on that, I'm able to come up with another number that's very important, and that's, you know, their ability to bring in new clientele and what the value of that is. These things are very important.
Yeah, and you know what I just got from what you said, Jim? It is easier for the existing clients to bring us a new client than it is for us to go out there and find one.
Absolutely.
Because once they bring it in, half the job is already done.
Yeah, it's cheaper. You know, I didn't have to market for that next customer they bought in. And if that next customer that they bought in is like them, I can work with them and bring them to the same level that I bought my current client up to.
Yeah.
All right, so
Jim,
We have
13 minutes remaining.
Oh,
and
that's not a problem.
No. I want you to, before you go into the seventh point, I want you to just insert right at this minute how people can get in touch with you.
Oh,
so
yes.
So we haven't done that yet.
Oh, and easy. My phone number, you can reach me at area code 516-478-4349, extension 2003. That's area code 516-478-4349, extension 2003. And my email address is jim@betterbizbuilders.com. I'll say that again. jim@betterbizbuilders.com. You can also visit my website, and my website is www.betterbizbuilders.com.
All right. Thank you so much. I didn't want you to escape. And also, before you get off the air, we have 11 minutes remaining. I want you to just speak briefly about your book. So let's move through these remaining 3 points, please.
Actually, we're on number 9. Number 9 is improve your skills continuously. Now, I know you, Daphne, and I know you are always in training. You're the most in training person that I know.
It's important.
That's a wonderful thing. You know, the bottom line is this. If you don't have it in you, then how are you going to give what you have to anyone else?
That's not possible. You cannot give from an empty cup.
Not possible. Realistically speaking, I like to consider myself in training all day, every day, because what people don't understand about me is, well, first and foremost, I put in 2 hours of study every day, 7 days a week. That's just before I start my day. And
important.
And in my heart, I am a stone-cold researcher, so I'm always researching. Then I do, I have, currently I have 35 certifications.
Wow.
Well,
amazing.
Well, the idea is this. What is it that my clients are getting? And what is it do I have to offer? And is what I have to offer worth it? If it's not, then why am I bothering? So there's no such
thing
as standing still, because if you're standing still, you're never prepared for the next thing. When people ask me, where do you find success, I always tell them success can only be found at the intersection of preparation and opportunity.
Right.
You have to prepare
exactly.
yourself to take advantage of opportunity in order to succeed. So it's always preparation. You must always prepare. Always.
And it is in the continuous education that is what keeps us fresh and prepare for the clients.
That's right. That is right. And if you're not prepared for them, you remember when I gave you that stat about dissatisfied customers, right?
Yes.
The Technical Assistance Research Program Institute said 91% of dissatisfied customers don't return and tell 7 people. So if you want to shipwreck your business, then approach it unprepared. And
that's
just
right.
what's going to happen. All right.
And I have known people who lose customers, and when I ask why, they say they don't know, because I guess they put ego up in front of them and they don't ask. So I say, but if you don't ask, how are you going to prevent that from happening again?
That's right. You can't. You can't. You know, there's so many things that small business owners do to hurt themselves. You know, it's not always just the economy. There's a lot of things. A lot of
That's
things.
Right.
And a lot of those things are brought on by what we don't do. All right?
Mm-hmm.
And being prepared has got to be right on the top of the list. And finally, meet others with a smile on your face. I don't know about you, but whenever I run into somebody for the first time, I'm looking them dead in the face. First off, I'm a person that does look directly at your face. I'm looking you right in your eyes, so don't avert them. You know, I'm going right to what your face is telling me. And I know a lot of people that have a hard time smiling. They're nervous, and I understand all of that, but recognize this. You're supposed to be whom I'm going to place my trust in.
You
if
know, I
I'm
want
going
to hear.
If I'm going
I
to place
to
my
something.
Trust in you. Go. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Daphne.
Yeah, I want to share something. Someone in the chat room said that proper preparation prevents poor performance, and that is so true.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
That is so true. Jim, we have 6 minutes remaining. Do you want to talk a little bit about your new book coming up?
Absolutely. The book that I have coming out is entitled From Soho to So Great, How to Build an Extraordinary Business. SOHO stands for Small Office Home Office. That's what small businesses are referred as. So what I endeavor to do in my book, it's a book on business systems, and it's told very much in the same fashion as Michael Gerber's E-Myth. You know, it's storytelling, but it's storytelling with a point, showing you how to develop systems. When we use that word extraordinary, a lot of people make it seem as if it's something that's totally out of reach, when extraordinary defined means above what you ordinarily do or think. All right? So being extraordinary means doing something different. All right? So when we look at doing extraordinary actions, we tend not to do it because we think it's something that we can't aspire to. But when you're a small business owner, and what people don't realize, I have a ton of books here that I utilize. You're being held accountable for the same standard as a person that runs a large business, all right, or a large firm. Same standard, exact same standard, all right? But you think that because you're a startup or you don't have money, you think that somehow or another you're allowed to fly under the radar. Well, that's why you fail, because you're not allowed to fly under the radar. You're supposed to do things just as in decency and order, just as a large company is supposed to do that. And what my book does is it teaches you not only all of the systems that need to be put in place, but it also gives you a metric system that you can measure to make certain that the application of your systems are indeed working. Businesses
systems.
Well, I can't wait to get it out.
I can't wait to read it. I can't wait to get it. Okay, we have 4 minutes here remaining, and I don't know if any of the listeners have a question for Coach Jim Nemley. The number to call is 646-915-8166. Or if you're on in the chat room and you have a question, if you want to type it, I can read it. And Flim Stressed, I just want to welcome you. FlimStressed.com, thank you for joining us. And if you have a question for Jim, we have 3 minutes remaining. You can call in or you can type your question in the chat room. And we have coming up Dr. R. Jim Stephan. So today was the double gym day. So just a wonderful. I'm just surrounding myself with all these awesome men, I'm telling you.
Oh, well, no. Maybe it's that we're attracted to you, Daphne.
Oh, well, thank you. I feel so privileged. So, Slim Stress, do you have a question? Okay, Jim, why don't we continue talking until somebody, I don't want to take any of your time.
Well,
I don't know if you want to give a little checklist to the people to keep them on track.
Well, there's one quick thing. Tonight on my radio program, Building Building Your Extraordinary Business, I have Susan Carlson on, and it's a special one-hour Ask the Expert. And what we're going to be dealing with is information, or the real information about the stimulus programs and what the stimulus programs mean to small business owners. And I really believe that folks need to really know this, because they're being fed a lot of baloney, and at the end of the day, you're destined not to have anything at all because you didn't understand what you needed to do to prepare. So tonight's a special Ask the Expert on my radio program, and I'm going to put the information about the program and how to get to it. I'm going to put it right here in your chat room.
Okay, right. Awesome.
So,
and then I can just repeat it. You know, it was such an informative show, and I am so privileged, Jim, to have you as a coach and a friend and just someone who is willing to always give so much back to others.
Oh, well, listen, you know, it's a privilege working with you, Daphne. It really is, and I'm not just saying that. I love being around people of high quality. You know, people are often told to make certain that you hang out with people that are above you, you know. And
yes,
when I'm working with you, I am honored to do that.
You know, I thank you, because I have learned so much from you, Jim. And I look forward to talking with you soon. And thank you so much again. You were listening to our guest, Mr. Jim Nemley. Thanks, Jim, and I will talk with you later.
Very good. Take care, Daphne.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Good morning, Jim. You're on the air.
Very good. I'm here waiting and excited about sharing the new Time Mastery Secrets with you and your audience.
Okay, awesome, awesome. Well, our second guest this morning is Dr. R. James Stephan, and he is right here locally. And I just want to read a little bit from Jim's bio for you. Dr. Stephan has designed and thought the industry's most successful time management seminar to thousands of people throughout the United States, Europe, and Asia. It is called aligned thinking because it will help the participant build a skill that most people believe impossible. Dr. Stephan began creating this unique aligned thinking approach when he was doing a program called Maximizing Managerial Effectiveness. He did personal interviews with thousands of people where he asked, "What do you really want from life and work? And what do you do to get it?" The insights gained from so many very successful and some not so very successful people showed him the elegant, simple insights that anyone can use, but few do, to align just this next action to their life, the riches, the values they really cherish. From this action, aligned thinking teaches a person how to easily move into action, and then to every action. When a person has aligned every action to their life value, they have just taken control of their entire life. Ladies and gentlemen, I present to you Dr. R. James Stephan. Welcome, Jim, to the A New Day show.
Thank you, Daphne. I don't know where you got that from, but I'm pretty impressed. I'm honored that you would read that. I don't know if you want to jump right into this, but...
Before we jump right into the task at hand, Jim, I want you to just tell people a little bit more about you that I didn't mention in your bio, because I know you're a gentleman of so many skills and talents, and you have worked with so many different organizations over the years. So you can just give them a little bit more about you, and then we go right into the aligned thinking process here.
Well, one of the things that I would like to share with people is that I've been at this for 33 years. So I started when I was 10, so that makes me 43 years old. No, that's not true, but I have been at this for 33 years. Anyway, the amazing thing is that an experience that I had very early on is Dr. Burice called me in his office, and I was doing this Maximizing Managers Effectiveness program, and he said, and in that Maximizing Managers Effectiveness program, it had one module on time management. And he said, "Jim, I have a question for you. In fact, I have a couple questions." I says, now, Dr. Burice was not trying to be funny, and he was a wonderful guy. He says, "Jim, here's my question." He says, if I have something that I can't make it go faster or slower, and you can't make it go faster or slower, and this something, I can't save it, and you can't save it, and I can't give you any of yours, and you can't give me any of mine, or you, I can't give you any of mine, you can't give me any of yours. Do we control it? And I said, good grief, Bob, I guess not. What on earth are you talking about? And he said, I'm talking about time. He said, time is the way we measure the turning of the globe or the earth, and nobody can make that go faster than four. I says, yeah, you're right. He says, if you're going to really do a great time management program, you need to get in touch with what do we really control, and then you need to show us how to control it. I says, wow, that is really interesting. So for the next couple of months, I search for what do we really control. And if you think about it, Daphne, the past is gone, the future is not here yet. So whatever it is we really control has to be something in the here and now. Does that make sense?
That's right. Today is the only time we have. Today.
Okay. And so what do we really control today? And if you think about it, the only thing we really control is our actions right now. And the most critical point or the critical moment is when we decide what to do next. So on those two ideas, we only control action now, and the most critical point is when we decide what to do next. I said, how can we take the ordinary time management program and restructure it so that, A, it's easy for people to use, and, B, they can put it in place immediately. And so one of the things that I also discovered was that the value of our actions really comes not from the action itself, but it comes from the reason why we do the action. So, Daphne, if I may, let me give you three very simple examples, okay?
Yes, okay. Go ahead, Jim.
Okay, here's example number one. Suppose you're in a room and there's 10 people in the room. And suppose you go over and you flip the switch and turn out the lights. If it's day like it is right now, wow, my goodness, looking out the window here, it's April 8th, and it's snowing. Well, anyway, if you go over and flip the switch, the lights would go out, and people would probably look at you and wonder what's happening. But nobody would be tremendously scared, and they probably wouldn't remember it tomorrow. Now, suppose we change the situation, and suppose you get a letter from Mr. Obama, and he says, Daphne, would you come up to the White House on December 5th this year? Because of your fantastic work helping people grow, I want you to turn on the White House Christmas tree this December 5th. Now, Daphne, if you got that invitation, would you go? Probably so.
Oh, yes, I would.
Okay. And would you remember it? Definitely.
Would people
be aware that there's something happening here? Of course, when you turn on the Christmas tree, they would be very aware of it. So that's example number two. Let me take example number three. This is a horrible example, and it's meant to be horrible. I understand that some time ago, there was a nurse, a male nurse in Florida that has the electric chair, that this male nurse was deciding that these old people are too old, and he said, I should send them to God. And so he was actually gave them the wrong doses and killed about 13 people. Now, Daphne, let's suppose that your relative was one of them, and let's suppose that they invited you to come down and flip the switch that puts this person's lights out forever. Now, would you go? Maybe not. I don't think I'd go. But anyway, now let's look at those three examples. The physical thing was exactly identical for every single one of those, right? Flipping a switch.
Mm-hmm.
But in the first case, it didn't scare anybody, and nobody remembered. In the second case, in the White House, it was very memorable. And in the third case, you might not even go. The point that I want to make is the value of that action, which was identical in three situations, is vastly different according to the purpose why we did it. So that gives us a clue in how to get the most from what people call the most from their time. Actually, the question should be changed, how to get the most from my actions. And the way to get the most from a person's actions is align them to the life, the riches, the values you really cherish. Now, Daphne, this introduces the 10 mistakes that anyone can overcome, but few people do. And what I'd like to do, with your permission, is I'd like to walk through those 10 mistakes that anybody can overcome, but few people do. And as we go, I'd like to tell people, if they really are looking for help in overcoming these mistakes, where they can get help. Does that sound like
right.
a good...
And at the end, Jim, we will take some questions from the listeners, either in the chat room or on the telephone, and the telephone number is 646-915-8166, but we will be taking the questions after Jim goes through the steps. So
okay.
Go right ahead.
Well, and they can ask questions anytime. I really feel comfortable with that. Let me tell you, unfortunately, I don't have on my computer where the chat room is, so you'll have to help me out there. Anyway, pardon?
Go to www.blogtalkradio.com/ Daphne, D-A-P-H-N-E, dash Clark, C-L-A-R-K-E, dash Hudson. Click on that, and then you get a screen to go into the chat room.
Okay. I'll do that in a minute, but I can't, since I'm very much against multitasking, let me focus on what I'm saying here, and then I'll pick that up. Okay?
Ahead.
Okay. But before I go through these 10 things that anybody can do, but few people... anybody can overcome, but few people do. Let me tell you three fantastic challenges that if you do these things, you will be able to overcome. The three challenges are, there, a lot of people feel too much to do and never get everything done. If you overcome these 10 things, you can wipe that out. Another thing is people say too many interruptions. If you overcome these 10 things, you'll be able to turn interruptions into opportunities. Another thing people say is, I don't have enough personal time or family time. If you overcome these 10 things, you'll be able to take your work-life balance to a new level. Now, those are three things that you can overcome. Here, there are actually 101 benefits to overcoming these 10 things. And in my Aligned Thinker's Journey, we go through and show people how to use each of those benefits, but I'll share that with you. But here's three of the biggest benefits. Number one, you're going to be more motivated because it relates to what you really want. Number two, you're going to accomplish more and more of the important things. And number three, there's going to be a life without stress. So, Stephanie, would you say those three benefits are certainly worth trying to
yes.
accomplish?
Every bit of it, Jim.
Okay, so here's I listened to your last author, Jim, and he had a very good thing. What's your elevator speech? So here's my elevator speech. We want to help the people listening today do what most people believe impossible, and that is align every action, now I really do mean every, to the life, the riches, the values they really cherish. Now, Daphne, people say to me, Jim, do you really mean align every action to the life, the values, the riches they really cherish? And I say, yes. And they say, you're a fanatic. And I say, yes, I am a fanatic. And here's the reason why, Daphne. If you could align 85% of the values, 85% of your actions to the values you really cherish, what are you going to do with the other 15%? Align them to somebody else's values or align them to something else? Why do the other 15%? So the goal should be to align every action to the life, the riches, the values really cherish. And one of the things, going back to Bob Berese said, is that I should figure out how to get the most from your life, your time in your life. And that is if you can align every action to not only the riches you really cherish, but the values you really cherish. So here are the 10 things that anybody can overcome, but few people do. The number one thing is people don't have a clear, written, regularly reviewed work mission or purpose. Now, Daphne, let me distinguish between a work mission or purpose versus a goal. The goal could be I want to make $100,000 or I want to make $60,000 a year. That's a goal. And there's certainly some value there. But if a person says, for my work, I want to make a significant contribution to people, and I want to give my family a very secure lifestyle, that's much more a purpose. And the reason you want it to be a purpose or a mission rather than just a goal is there's much more value in that. And so if we're trying to do what most people believe impossible, align every action to the life, the values I really cherish, you need to know what those are. So let me repeat the number one mistake people don't do. They don't have a clear, written, regularly reviewed work mission or purpose. They might have some goals that are fuzzy in their mind. And what that does is if people can write that out, then they're going to be able to align each action to a much more value-rich purpose. And there's an immediate benefit. I had a client of mine, Mike Grant. He's a executive search person from Chicago. I recently did an interview with him, and he said, "Jim, one of the things that I want to emphasize about your program is it showed me that if I align my actions to just my goals," he says, "there's some value there. But if I can align my actions to the values that I really want, the bigger picture," he says, "that gives each of my actions much more value." And one of the things, Daphne, that people will say is, "You know, I sat down to do that, and I ended up with a blank piece of paper." Now, we had a lawyer in Denver say, "You know, I sat down to do that. I had a blank piece of paper. Or I had 100 things, and I couldn't focus." And in the thing that I'll share with people, the Aligned Thinker's Journey, in the first 3 weeks, with 8 minutes a week, we show people how to do that. So that's a real value that people can pick up. And later on, I'll share with them how they can get to the Aligned Thinker's Journey if they care to. So that's number one.
Number two.
Okay. Number two is, so the first one was a work purpose or mission. The second one is a personal purpose or mission. So if one of the things I want from work is make a contribution, certainly what I want from life is really much more important. And, you know, Daphne, Jim, your last speaker was giving some statistics, and I thought it was very impressive. So here's two statistics that I find very important. And it's in some sense, people will say that, well, this is sad, but in some sense, it shows what a tremendous opportunity there is for people. If you had 100 people, how many do you think would really have a clear, written, regularly reviewed work mission or purpose? You would be hard-pressed, Daphne, to find 10 people out of 100 that have that clear, written, and regularly reviewed. Now, the question is, why do we want it to be regularly reviewed? And the reason we want it to be regularly reviewed is when you decide what to do next, you need to have that work purpose or work mission clear in mind so you can make immediate judgments related to that. So if you had it clear and written but never reviewed it, so you say, what am I going to do next? And the farthest thing from your mind would be your work purpose or mission, then it's not having any impact on you. But we want something to have impact. But so the good news is that 90 out of 100 people, if they did that, would see an immediate benefit to their life. Now, let's go to
before you move on, one of the other things I know about reviewing it, there's probably time when you'll want to modify something, but if you don't look, how are you going to know?
Absolutely. You're absolutely right. And one of the things that we teach in our Aligned Thinker's Journey is every quarter we say if you can set aside 30 minutes a quarter, 5 minutes a day, and 5 seconds when you decide what to do next, you can very significantly impact your time and your life. So let me repeat that. When we get all finished, I'll show people how if they can just make 3 commitments to themselves after they understand the process. So the 3 commitments are 30 minutes a quarter to update what they really want, both their work and personal mission, 5 minutes a day to plan their day in a very specific way that I'll show you in just a few minutes because we're coming up to those mistakes. And then five seconds when they decide what to do next. And mistakes number 9 and 10 relate to these 5 seconds so that the people can understand how they get the most, make this very, very practical and very, very simple. It's so simple that if you can make those 3 commitments, 30 minutes a quarter, 5 minutes a day, and 5 minutes when you decide what to do next, you can really do what most people believe impossible, and that is align every action to the life, the values, the riches you really cherish. So we already had number one, and we said 90 out of 100 people could get some significance from their life if they did that. Now let's look at number two. Number two, the mistake is no written, clear, written, regular reviewed personal mission or purpose. And if you were to check people, how many people really have a clear written out? They could have a few goals on a piece of paper, but that a few goals on a piece of paper isn't a clear personal mission or purpose. So let me give you a couple examples of the difference between a goal and a purpose. A goal could get married. That's a one-time event. A purpose is to create a fantastic relationship with this person that makes us a happy couple. A goal could be have a child. That's a 15-minute event, and you might not even have any love. So that's a single event, you know. And unfortunately, a lot of kids today find out that it's not just the fun of the moment. You got a person to deal with. But now a purpose is to create a confident human being that's your friend. Another example is of a goal is to get a house. So you buy a house, then you have a mortgage for 30 years. But the goal, a single event, is a house. But the purpose or the mission could be to create a happy home. That's much more challenging. Now, there is a very significant reason, another significant reason, why you want to have a purpose, because a goal can give you excitement, it can give you value for as long as you're proceeding towards that goal. But a mission, since it usually lasts a lifetime, can give you a significant value. And one of the things I did with 150 presidents of companies and their spouses is, they were interested in inner fulfillment. And I said, okay, we put together a questionnaire, 175-word questionnaire, and I got 150 presidents of companies to fill it out. People say, Jim, how did you do that? I said, it was pure blackmail. They wanted to figure out what inner fulfillment is, and I said, look, you can come to the seminar where I explain what it is, but you have to fill out this survey so we can figure it out. And so they fill it out. We sent it through Columbia University. We did all the statistics in a very high level, and we found that those people who have inner fulfillment, they have 3 characteristics. They're active, doing meaningful things with a sense of progress. Now, anybody can be active, and if you work on something long enough, you're going to beat some progress. But the real question is the meaningfulness. Now, if you are proceeding to a goal, it can be meaningful, but as soon as you reach the goal, then it ceases to be meaningful. But if you think about a purpose or a mission, since that's usually a lifetime event, it can give meaning and it can give value for as long as you're proceeding. So it's much better to have a personal mission or purpose. Now, the statistics on the personal part is if you had 100 people, you would be hard-pressed to find 5 out of them that have a clear, written, regularly reviewed personal mission or purpose. So that means that 95% of the people would get a significant benefit if they can do that. And in our Aligned Thinking program, in the 5th, 6th, and 7th, 8th, the Aligned Thinking program basically is if you can commit 8 minutes and 32 seconds a week, you can do this program. And anybody that really is interested in their own development, if they can't commit 8 minutes and 32 seconds a week, then they're really not interested. So in the 5th, 6th, and 7th weeks, we show them exactly how to do that, and it only takes a matter of 15 minutes to make that happen. The bottom line here is that if people will commit that kind of time, they can get much, much more from their life if they have a clear idea of their work and their personal purpose. So, Daphne, any questions before we go on to mistake number 3?
No, go on to mistake number three, Jim, because we only have 36 minutes remaining.
Okay. Well, the good news is when we get to mistake 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8, we're going to do those very quickly because they all really hang together. So here's mistake number three. I feel I'm not free in all I do. Now, to understand how to overcome that, if you can imagine you got a piece of paper and you draw a circle in the middle and that says, I want to be a sports star. Okay, so there's a circle in the middle that want to be the sports star. But with the, and we're going to call that our P. That's our primary thing that we want. Now, with every primary thing that anybody wants, there are some NCs, there are some necessary conditions. What are some of the necessary conditions in order to be a sports star? Well, one of the things is you have to practice. Another thing is you have to listen to the coach. If you're going to be a real big sports star, you have to deal with the public. And if you're going to be with a real big sports star, you have to travel. So all those are necessary conditions in order to be a sports star. Now, we have three options to be a sports star. One is, after a while being a sports star, it's too costly, and so you decide that you want to change the P. And that's perfectly okay to change the primary thing you want. And many of the greatest sports stars, all the sports stars eventually change the P from being a sports star to being a retired sports star. Think about Michael Jordan. He did it twice. Chris Everett, the great Gretzky. Recently, we had Doug Flutie. Doug Flutie was a fantastic a football player for Boston College. He eventually went to the Canadian pros, did all kind of amazing things, eventually ended up in the American pros, and eventually he said, you know, my body just won't take it anymore. So he changed the P, and everybody can change the P of what they want. Now, the second option is not a good option. In fact, it's an irrational option. It's the person that says, I want to be a sports star. I hate the coach, but I have to do what the coach says, and they said, the coach says I have to practice, so I have to practice. The coach says I have to travel, so I have to run. In other words, as soon as you say I'm doing it because so-and-so said so, you make your victim of so-and-so. So it basically, right. it's a thing that people should be very careful of is listening to themselves say, so-and-so said so.
Right.
The third. Now let's go to the third thing. The third thing is very reasonable. Let's take the famous football player for the Steelers, Jerome Bettis. He was a star at Notre Dame. He was a star in high school in Detroit. And two or three years ago, he played in the Super Bowl in his own home city of Detroit. Now, as a star for Pittsburgh, he was a fullback. Now, anybody that's going to be a fullback in football, especially in the pros, is going to get hit repeatedly again and again and again. But as a pro, he said, I want to be a great star. So he took one of the necessary conditions to be a great football star as a fullback is you're going to get tackled. But that's okay. He said that's okay. And he went on to be a great star at Notre Dame. He was a great star at Pittsburgh for the Steelers. But before the Super Bowl that they played in his own home city of Detroit, he went in to see the owner of the Steelers, and he said, being a Steeler has been fantastic, but one of the necessary conditions to being a football star is you get tackled. He says, my body isn't going to take it anymore. So he said, from win, lose, or draw, I'm going to retire. So he accepted the necessary conditions for a while, and then he couldn't take it anymore. So he went back to number one, and he changed the P, and he became a great football player retired, and now he's an announcer. You can hear Joan Bennis in the football season. So the point that I want to make is that if you take anything that a person really wants, let's say you have a salesperson, and one of the things he wants is an outstanding lifestyle. Well, he could say, I hate my job because I have to travel. Now, that puts him in the number two. He makes himself a victim. But if he says, one of my purposes in life is to provide an outstanding lifestyle for my family, and a necessary condition is I have to travel, so I am going to be missing some of my kids' sports events, but that's okay because I see travel as a necessary condition. So that makes him free in all his due because he chooses the P. In other words, if we choose what we want and see, accept the necessary conditions, we're going to be in much better shape. So that's the number three thing. Okay.
Right, so because, you know, Jim, what I've picked up out of all these steps that you're saying is the same thing where people keep pointing fingers and passing the blame. They never take responsibility for whatever is happening in their lives. So what this program does is that it allows the participants to take responsibility for their actions and for who they are and for who they become.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right, Daphne. Daphne, if I may, now, when I do these hour presentations, usually at this point I say, folks, if you can spend 30 minutes a quarter to update your personal mission and your business mission, you got it. And here's a quote from a very interesting lady. This is Amy David, and she's a vice president of sales for IBM. And the interesting thing about this quote, before I read the quote, I have to tell you who this person is. When she made this statement, she was the vice president of the Western region for IBM in sales and software, and she had 640 people in her region. So that says she has a lot of people that she needs to take care of. But more important was she had in Denver, back in Denver, she had a husband who traveled more than she did because he was an executive. But here's the really the bottom line. She had not one, not two, not three, but four teenage boys at home. So if anybody has a challenge relating to work and personal life balance, she had it. And here's the statement she said. She said, "The freedom secret that I just explained, of the three parts that I just explained, gave me a new insight so I could take my work-life balance to a new level." So it's not a 50-50 work and personal life. It's not 40-60. The key is to see her work life as supporting her personal life and the lifestyle she wants for her boys. And then the time with her boys she needs to see as refreshing her so she can go back and do her job well. So, Daphne, isn't that a great quote that she can see how somebody is very, very busy, still she sees she's free in all she does?
Yes, it's amazing because a lot of times you'll hear parents say, well, oh, boys are so challenging to raise. So to hear that from a mother who not only have one teenage boy but three, this is really amazing.
No.
And you said this person is Amy David, you said, Jim?
Amy, A-M-Y, David, and she actually had four teenage boys at home.
Oh, four teenage boys. Excuse me, that's amazing.
Isn't that amazing? Daphne, I mean, if people ask where can they go to get help doing this, could I give them a link that they could go to get help? They can write it down and check it later?
Yes, I'll give you a minute before the interview is finished to do that.
Okay, I'll do that. Let me tell the fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, and eighth mistakes. They all go together. So
awesome. And then after that, we're going to tell them how to get in touch with you and all of that.
Okay. Daphne, I hear an echo. Do you hear an echo?
Not now. I'll start listening. I didn't hear it before.
Okay. Now I don't hear the echo. Very good. Okay, here is the fourth mistake. There's no regular focus period. So what the punchline here is, if a person can set aside 5 minutes a day to take care of mistake 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8, they've got it. So the first thing is no regular focus period. The second thing is they don't review critical information. Part of the critical information they need to review is their work and personal purposes. The sixth thing is they use a to-do list. Now, I'm going to come back to the to-do list in just a minute. The seventh thing is they set only business priorities, and the eighth thing is they plan too much. Now, let me go back over those four mistakes and show you how it is very easy to overcome them. And in the Aligned Thinker's Journey that I'll share at the end of the program, this is steps 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. So we've shown people how to do that. The first thing is a person just has to say, okay, at this time of day, the beginning of my day, I'm going to set aside 5 minutes. And Daphne, everybody should be able to set aside 5 minutes. We had a fella down in Atlanta that every time, as soon as he got to work, people start asking him questions. So what he used to do is he used to drive to work, sit in his car for 5 minutes, do the planning, and then get out and go to work. So anybody, you just got to set aside 5 minutes. The second, the number five is review the critical information. In other words, during that 5 minutes, it's only going to take about 30 seconds to review your work mission, your personal mission, and any other critical information. Now, the thing that many people say is, you've got to be kidding. My to-do list is really the critical thing. However, a to-do list can give you tug-lip, to-do list frustration. And one of the things that we recommend is that you have a holding pen and a priority list. The holding pen is where every time you think of something you do, you put it in the holding pen. And then during your 5 minutes, you write down the priorities that you can reasonably do today, and you only focus on them. Now, Daphne, if a person just does that one thing, they have a holding pen where they put everything to do, and they write their priorities for the day, what they can reasonably accomplish, and they just focus on that, that suggestion alone will more than compensate them during this entire hour, because that's such a powerful thing. You can do it immediately. It doesn't cost a cent. Now, number seven is when they set their priorities, they set only business priorities. Our recommendation is that they set at least one personal priority. And the eighth thing is they plan to do too much. Now, the antidote to that planning to do too much is a very simple thing you can do immediately. And here's that very simple thing. When you write down the priorities for the day to come, right next then, and next to them, you guesstimate how long each one are going to take, and you add it up. If regularly you work for 8 hours and you usually have an hour worth of interruptions, then if you plan anything more than 6.5 hours, you've just made a mistake. You've just ensured the fact that you're going to be frustrated at the end of the day and you're going to have to-do list frustration. So when I first taught this to one of my vice presidents, and we have a program on the Internet where it does it for you automatically, she came into my office. She was laughing. I said, "Sue, why are you laughing?" She said, "I just used the program you have on the Internet to set my priorities," she says, "and I can see why I'm frustrated at the end of the day." He says, "Yet regularly I work 7 hours," and I knew that, of course. She says, I just set 14 hours worth of priorities. She says, "So I can I assure myself." So some people, the way they set their priorities, they are absolutely assured of being frustrated at the end of the day. So the antidote to that is after you set your priorities, you add it up, and a caution, you will probably be over-optimistic, and people, things really take longer than you think, so you might just give yourself an additional 20 or 30% of the time. So if you think it's going to take an half hour, you might put in 45 minutes, just in good case. But with those five mistakes, you can easily change your life. So the first thing is 5 minutes to set priorities. The second thing is you review the important things. The third thing is you have a holding pen where everything goes. As soon as you put it in your holding pen, get it out of sight and only focus on the priorities for the day. The fifth thing is that you set business and personal priorities. And the sixth thing is you guesstimate how long each thing will take and adjust accordingly. You can change your life just doing that. So we just completed the eight mistakes, and we have two to go. So, Daphne, now, one of the things that I've said a couple times already is if you can commit 30 minutes a day, that's to do mistake one, to two, and three, 5 minutes, no, 30 minutes a quarter,
yes,
five minutes a day, and the 5 minutes a day could take care of mistakes four through eight, and then 5 seconds when you're going to decide what to do next. Now we're up to mistake nine and ten. You have any questions, or should I go to mistake nine and ten?
Go to mistake 9 and 10, and then we're going to tell people how to get in touch with you and all of that.
Okay.
And we're going to be taking questions.
Okay. Let me read a quote first from a very important person. His name is Edward M. Hallowell, and he's a doctor. He wrote the book Crazy Busy, great book, and he especially focuses on ADD, attention deficit disorder.
Mm-hmm.
And he says that the lack of connectedness to what is really important to you ranks up there with death caused by smoking, high cholesterol, and high blood pressure, as a factor that causes early demise. In other words, what he's saying is one of the things that causes people to be unhappy and one of the things that is they're not connected to what they really value. And the reason I say that is mistakes 9 and 10 have to do with that. So here's mistake number 9. Not being totally involved in your most important now. Now, many people think it's really smart to be multitasking. But if you go to Google and you put in multitasking, the first 10 research papers that come up, 9 of them will tell you that multitasking is a very bad idea. And in fact, if you're multitasking when you're driving and you're talking on your cell phone, you can get yourself killed. And recently in California... Pardon?
And kill others as well.
Kill others as well. Recently in California, there was a train wreck, and they found out that the engineer, in the last 30 minutes before he caused the train wreck, he text messaged 23 different people. So there's a good example of multitasking that killed many people. Now, there's an article in the Wall Street Journal. I love the heading of it. Here's the headline. Multitasking makes you stupid. Actually, there's a famous book called Flow by a famous guy named Mihaly Csikszentmihalyi, and he shows that it's very hard to be happy if you can't be totally involved in something. And one of the things that my research shows me is that when I get totally involved in something, I accomplish more. I accomplish more without stress, and I accomplish more of the very important things. So mistake number 9 is not consistently being totally involved in your most important now. Now, mistake number 10 is not relating your most important now to the riches, the value you really want. Now you can see why it's so important for 1 and 2. If you never wrote out the riches, the values you really want in work, and if you never wrote out the riches, the values you really want in your personal life, it's going to be very hard to relate every single action back to the riches and the values you really want. Now, let me go to the elevator speech that I gave at the beginning. The elevator speech was basically, we help people do what most people believe impossible, and that is align every action to the life, the riches, the values that you really cherish. So if in fact...
Before you go on, what I just heard you said, for example, your elevator speech needs to be 30 seconds. So after you tell them what you do, then you allow them to ask you and then you give them the second speech.
Okay, my elevator speech needs to be in 30 seconds or less?
Right, because you tell what you said in the beginning, but don't give them the second part until you get a reply from them about the aligning.
Okay, well, here's my elevator speech, and I'm going to time it. 1, 2, 3, go. What we help people do, what most people believe impossible, align every action to the values, the riches they really want. That elevator speech only took 8 seconds. And then I want people to come back and say, how on earth can you align every action to what really want when I have, if you think about it, you have relatives, you have friends, some people have a spouse, some people have a boss, some people have direct reports. So how on earth can they align every action to what they really want when they have all these other people and they have clients? And the answer to this is mistake number 3, the freedom secret, which I explained. If you clearly see the primary thing you want, many of the things are going to be necessary conditions to get to that primary thing, and when you freely accept the necessary conditions, you're on your way. Make sense?
Yeah.
Now, here's the question. At this point in time, if I'm going to get the most from this action, in order to get the most from this action, it depends on what I do, why I do it, and how I do it. Now, to optimize the what I do, by necessity, if I just do what I feel like doing, that's not going to be the most important now. If I consistently do the most important now, by definition, there's nothing more important than the most important now. So that takes care of the what. The how I do it, our research shows and common sense dictates that if you're totally involved in your most important now, you're going to get done as best as possible. So now the why I do it relates to number 10. It goes back to what you want. So taking those things into consideration, the problem is, how do I get to a point where at any one time I can decide what to do next and do it in 5 seconds? Well, we had to come out with a very simple way to do that, because you can't stop and ask yourself, what's my most important, what to do, why to do it, and how to do it. So we needed a very simple way. And here's the very simple way. It's the bottom line. It's a 10-word question. The 10-word question is extremely simple. Here's the 10-word question. And this 10-word question only takes 2.5 seconds to ask. It's, what's my min related to what I really want? That's it. So what's my min related to what I really want? And then you got 2.5 seconds to answer it. So if you can ask that question and answer it in the most critical moment of your day when you decide what to do next, you got it. So it goes back. Let me summarize. My elevator speech was, we can help people do what most people believe impossible, and that is align every action to the life, the riches, the values they really want. How are we going to do that? Well, we're going to do that if they can commit 30 minutes a quarter to make sure that their life, their work mission, their life mission is updated. So they first of all have to establish it, but it's updated. Then 5 minutes a day to set the priorities for the day to come with a holding pen and a to-do list, a holding pen and a priority list, excuse me. And then 5 seconds so they can ask, what's my min related to what I really want, and answer that question. They got it. So to be an aligned thinker, it only takes 30, 5, and 5. But to get there, they need some help. And that's where my book and the Aligned Thinker's Journey will help them.
Okay. At this point, Jim, would you tell the people how to get in touch with you and how to access this information, please?
Okay. The first thing is, if I'd love to talk with them, if they give me a telephone call, it's 203-740-8400. Let me repeat that. It's 203-740-8400. If they want to email me, my simplest email is rjstefan, so rjstefan, S-T-E-F-F-A-N, at AOL.com. So rjstefan at AOL.com. Now, if they want to sign up for the Aligned Thinker's Journey, here's the way they do it. They go to www.SSA International. SSA is my company, Stefan Stefan Associates, all one word. So www.SSAinternational.com/join, J-O-I-N, journey, J-O-U-R-N-E-Y. Let me say that again. www.SSAinternational.com/join journey. If they don't feel comfortable and they want a 8-minute demo about this thing, they can go to www.SSAinternational.com. So it's the same thing, www.SSAinternational.com/AT, stands for Aligned Thinking, but AT journey. If they put in AT journey, they'll get a 8-minute demo that they can give more consideration. So there's my telephone number, my email, and two ways to sign up if they're interested. And on the journey, the journey basically says, we will give you 14 days free to check this out. During that 14 days, there are 15 additional bonuses. One of the 16th bonus is a free copy of my book. So if they sign up for the Join the Journey, they get 14 days free. They also get a free copy of my book. That's $19.95. My book is Aligned Thinking, Make Every Moment Count. You can get it on Amazon, or you can get a free copy just by going and joining the journey. And then if you don't want to stay with the journey is very inexpensive. It takes my 8 intensive weeks that cost $1,600, and it reduces it to less than $20 a month. So if they can afford less than $20 a month, about 70 cents a day, they can join the journey and feel like they can do what most people believe impossible, align every action to the life, the riches, the values they really want, and then they're going to get much more out of their life.
Awesome. Jim, now, are there special people that you recommend this Aligned Thinking for? Because there might be someone who is listening and thinks that, oh, well, you know, I'm not a professional, and all the quotes that Jim mentioned and the people who are utilizing this program appears to be professional.
Let me share with you some of the people who have gotten a lot out of Aligned Thinking. We have Dana, a housewife in California. Her husband was an IBM manager, and he got the Aligned Thinking program through his company. And one of the things that we did is invite them to ask their spouse. So she is a homemaker. She did not work outside the home. She had two children, and she signed up for the Aligned Thinking Journey and got a lot out of it. She found that it helped her run her household much better. We have a lawyer from Denver. He's retired, and he found that the Aligned Thinking process helped him very significantly in his retirement because he could see much more of what he was doing. We have a CPA from Florida, Pensacola, that is about to retire, and he joined the Aligned Thinker's Journey, and he found that it helped him as he winds down his professional career. Now, we also have...
Hold a minute. We have a question in the chat room from you. For you. Someone wants to know, how long does it take to actually go through the program? That's someone in the chat room.
The program starts each Sunday morning. It takes 8.5 minutes, and you can do all the critical basics in about 10, 12 weeks, and the program will continue to support you as long as you want it to. But you can get the whole thing. You can get all the critical basics in the first 12 sets of 8 minutes. So if you think of 12 sets of 8 minutes, that's probably about an hour and a half of your time. Does that answer your question?
Oh, okay. That answers the question. I'll see if they type anything else, Jim.
Okay.
So continue on the list that you were saying.
Well, I was sharing with you. You asked me who uses the program, and right now we have on the program we have a doctor from Hawaii that's on the program. We have a man that works for the government in Washington D.C. He's in the environmental. He is in the program. We have a doctor from La Crosse Hospital in Florida. We have a CPA from Boston on the program. And very interesting, when I did the program, I had a internet specialist from Germany on the program with her husband. So my thumbnail sketch, if you ask me the question, who should be on the Aligned Thinker's Journey, anyone who has actions to align to what they really want, anyone who has some purposes in life and has some actions to align to those purposes should be in the program. So, you know, if you don't have a purpose in life and you don't have actions to align them, that's very few and far between. In fact, you're probably...
Wow,
my goodness sakes.
Jim.
I had that turned up. Jim. Right, go ahead.
You answered the question because I wanted you to let people know that this program was for everyone so long as you are breathing, because the reason why people are not accomplishing their life's purpose is because of their lack of alignment.
Absolutely.
So you did very well in passing that information out.
We have
only 5 minutes remaining, and time goes by fast when you're acquiring knowledge. So how would you like to summarize the next 3 minutes, Jim?
Well, let me start this next 3 minutes with a quote from a fellow who he actually came into the program thinking he needed a job change. And here's what he said. The men, most important now, is a lifesaver for me. Now, this person, his name is Neil Washburn. He's a manager in upstate New York, and he has politicians, he has bosses, he has direct reports, he has people he service all after him, and he was thinking of changing his career. But here's what he continues. He says, the men, most important now, is a lifesaver for me. Aligned thinking has changed my career and my whole life. I wish I had this at the beginning or end of my college career. So actually, we had from IBM a fellow who was the director of their education, and he thought so much of the program, he asked his junior and senior daughters to go through the program. One of the interesting things people will get from the program is that 24 years later, I interviewed those daughters. One of them is an OBGYN, and the other one is an optical engineer manager at Corning, and both of them, a junior and senior in high school, said it helped them get through college, and it also helped them with their career. So anyone who is a senior in high school or later or in their professional life could get very much value out of the aligned thinking. So let me just basically summarize.
Before you summarize, Jim, what I picked up from this, although it is never too late for this program, it is never too early to start it either, because the sooner you start it, the more you'll get out of your life, because you will know what your purpose is early in the beginning.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So you have a minute and a half to summarize, Jim.
Okay. In a minute and a half, if people decide to go on the Aligned Thinker's journey, they get all these tutorials. They get a way to decide what they want from business. They want to get what they want from personal life. And once they get the process down, the only commitment they need is threefold: 30 minutes a quarter, 5 minutes a day, 5 seconds. And let me give my critical information. So if they want to talk to me on the phone, I'd be delighted to talk with them. Any questions or help them get on the journey, it's 203-740-8400. 203-740-8400. If they want to email me, it's rjsteffen, S-T-E-F-F-E-N, at AOL.com. And if they want to go right on the journey, it's www.ssainternational.com/join-the-journey. Or if they want more insights, it's www.ssainternational.com. SSAInternational.com, AT Journey. So AT stands for Aligned Thinking. So /AT Journey. Daphne, I thank you very much for the opportunity to share this. It's been a delightful hour for me, and I congratulate you on your program.
Thank you so much, Jim, and I'm sure we'll be having you on again in the very near future. I know that the listeners this morning got a wealth of information, both from yourself and from the other Jim, and I thank you both very much for coming on the line.
Okie doke.
Thank you.
You're
and
quite
our,
welcome.
Our guest coming up for the 8th, on the 10th of April at 10 a.m. is Miss Delia Stovall out of Chicago. And she will be speaking on relationships, what to know before you do. And then on the 14th, we are having Mr. James Ernst and Mr. Brian Franklin. And on the 15th, we have George Frazier and Marsha Petersu. Again, this is Dynamic Daphne, Queen of the Empowered Soul, thanking you for joining us. And don't forget that you have a destiny. Identify what your destiny is and just follow your destiny. Remember, you do not have to settle for mediocrity because you have the ability to create excellence. Be blessed.
What's the plight that you've called me to? The thing I'm set aside to do. I trust you, Lord, to see me through. Will you let me look in your heart?
My destiny.
My destiny.
I know what I'm here for.